This is a trigger warning for today's episode, as we discuss some heavy themes such as mental health and suicide. Please skip this one if it's not for you and refer to the resources in the show notes. Now, on to today's episode.
Hello, everybody. This podcast is part of a series called Elevate My Pharmacy Career. I'm Isa Bautista, and today I have Chantelle Florenca, and we're part of the pharmacy student team working with Locomate, which connects locums to pharmacies. So in this series, we get a chance to deep dive into careers of trailblazers within the pharmacy industry. So using our student team, which includes myself, Chantelle, and some other students as well, we explore the expansive career opportunities in the pharmacy industry by focusing on new innovation, technology, and the people driving it. In today's episode, we'll be celebrating Are You Okay Day, which is a suicide prevention charity in Australia, which encourages everybody to take notice of the signs of mental health struggles in friends, family, and colleagues. This charity advocates for people to have conversations with others. So today's guest is Kay from Pharmacist Support Services, who offers support related to the many demands of being a pharmacist in Australia. The Pharmacist Support Service is available all days of the year and is a free service run by pharmacists for pharmacists. So, Kay, did you want to introduce yourself to everybody?
It's lovely to be here with you all, and I'm really looking forward to having a chat with you. And thank you for inviting me. I think it's really important to acknowledge days like Are You Okay Day.
Thanks for joining us, Kay. Chantelle, did you want to start off with the first question?
Yeah, so I actually wanted to bring something up that I recently participated in. So it was a study that was being conducted at the University of Western Australia, and it was about understanding mental health patient interactions in community pharmacy. And so when I completed the study, it involved a survey based on a short scenario of a patient that was quite distressed, and it was suspected that they were at risk of taking their own life. And so the questions that they asked involved how, like, you as a pharmacy professional would handle the situation, and if it would actually impact your own mental health. And so personally, I think it was a really great study to highlight how important it is that pharmacists as health professionals also have a support network for their own mental health, which I believe is what you provide at Pharmacy Support Services, Kay. So I was wondering, based on your experience, do you think that pharmacists have the capacity to play a greater role in the mental health crisis in Australia?
Definitely. I mean, they're on the front line. We are very much available to the public, particularly in community pharmacy, but in a lot of other settings. I mean, when we're doing medication reviews, we are often in someone's home. They might open up to us about their mental health. Likewise, when we're in talking to people in residential aged care or even in the hospital setting. And I think, you know, it's important. We are trusted professionals, and we often develop quite a good rapport with people, and they will open up and tell us a little bit more than they maybe will tell other people around them, particularly if you're taking some time to talk to them. And I think that knowing that you care and knowing that you will listen to them is really important for people with a mental health diagnosis or potentially having a mental health illness, maybe undiagnosed, and you know, the fact that they will open up and you can build that relationship and trust and help them to take the next step with their mental health. I think it's key role of pharmacists.
Yes, definitely. And I feel like a lot of people heavily rely on pharmacists in that sense where they don't necessarily understand their own medication. And so they're going to the pharmacist and giving them the context that they need in terms of their personal life and how they're feeling mentally. And that also just helps paint a bigger picture of everything, which is nice, and builds that rapport, as you were saying. So I think definitely in the future that pharmacists may play a bigger role in mental health, and I hope that one day that they definitely do. And what are your thoughts,
Isa?
Oh, sorry, continue.
I was just going to say, certainly in, you know, pharmacists, because we are dealing with people and explaining medication, I think that is a very basic but essential role, because often medication for mental health or mental illnesses does actually have, it has a lot of side effects, and we need to talk through that and give people expectations. I mean, for example, you know, if someone's starting an antidepressant, letting them know it might take 3 weeks, 2 to 3 weeks before they will actually feel a lot better. So, you know, we already do play that key role. And I think, you know, we are on the front line, and often we have long-term relationships and people will open up and talk to us. And I think, you know, this has been the case for a long time, and there have been some works, some research done in across the eastern states. It was during COVID, so it was a little bit curtailed, but they had a Pharma Bridge trial where they did actually, had pharmacists trained up to provide increased support for patients with mental illness, and they assessed that from, you know, from both points of view, the pharmacists and the patients, as to, you know, how they found that. And, you know, I gather the results were very, you know, good, that it was very valuable to people to be able to have the pharmacist. I mean, often they have to have appointments to see doctors or psychologists, and although they do need to have that expertise, but as a port of first call, the pharmacist is there and available. So coming to us is a very, you know, appropriate and natural sort of thing to happen.
Yes, it's really insightful, because I guess something that I've really been thinking about a lot recently is, because since pharmacy, it can be such a fulfilling role, since you're talking with patients and other healthcare professionals, it's such a communication-based role. But sometimes I feel like if you don't really manage that, you can get really caught up, I guess, in other people's problems. So would you have any recommendations for people who are working in pharmacy to kind of be able to manage, you know, their own self-care and what to do after a shift if they're feeling, you know, a little bit thrown off or just feeling a little bit disoriented from it?
And look, certainly, you know, pharmacy is a stressful profession, and we do interact with the public who may bring their problems and concerns to us. And it's really important that we have our own way of managing that. And there's a lot of options for doing that. And, you know, there's the option to debrief, and that could be with the pharmacist support service, but it could also be with colleagues. You know, after a busy, stressful day in the pharmacy, having someone that you can trust and talk to is really important to sort of, I suppose, offload some of the burden of the stress, just having someone listen. But also, I think, you know, self-care, when we leave work, trying to separate ourselves from the busy day we've had and go home and do things that are good for us, that we focus on our own self-care. And I mean, self-care has to be regular and consistent. It has to be built into our lives and our routines. It's not just an emergency response, but, you know, giving ourselves some care and doing things we enjoy to relax. And, you know, for people that'll be different things. And we often, when we're at conferences, we often ask people, how do you relax or how do you manage stress? And people have so many amazing ideas of what they do, you know, whether it's listening to music, walking on the beach, singing, laughing, reading books, you know, just sitting down with a cup of tea after a long day. There's so many ways, and all of that should be built into our lives so that we really do look after our own health and mental health, particularly when we, you know, after working in pharmacy during the day, we do need to do that. And having your network of people who support you, your family, as I call them, your pharmacy family, because that's important, because, you know, they understand what pharmacy's like. And that's the principle of the pharmacist support service. When you ring, you're speaking to someone who is a pharmacist or has been until recently a pharmacist, because we do have some retired people involved. And so they understand what pharmacy's like, and therefore they can offer that unique support of a peer, someone who's got the similar background. And that's, you know, the other reason for having our own network of people within pharmacy that we can talk to when things are stressful.
Yeah, it's nice to have someone who you know can relate to you in that sense. and just be there to listen, and they'll just probably be like, yep, 100%, I understand. It's just nice to have someone who can understand you. I think that's what is really important, as well as you were saying with the self-care. Definitely integrating the self-care into your life, taking a break, taking a holiday. It's always, always good.
Yes, yeah. And look, it is, you know, it is about having a balance in life, making sure when you're in the workplace that you do have your breaks that are allocated, you know, your tea breaks and your lunch break, and have a bit of downtime so that you can sustain that focus and concentration that you need when you're at work. But also at the end of the day, going home and doing things you enjoy to relax, as well as sort of having a little bit of structure in your life so that the boring aspects, the admin side of life, can be streamlined and you can maximize the time for you. And always having, I always suggest that people have a holiday booked to look forward to. Like once you've had one holiday, you start planning the next one, because there's a lot of pleasure just in planning that holiday. And also it's something to look forward to if you know, even though it might be quite a while off because you've just had one holiday, having knowing what you're going to be doing next time and planning and booking and spending time sort of in that sort of phase before you go actually enhances the enjoyment of a holiday.
Yes, definitely getting that travel bug. Oh, I'm excited. I'm about to go overseas, very excited. But moving on now, can you tell us a little bit about what you do at Pharmacy Support Services and what your role is?
Well, I'm the executive officer, so I actually do the coordination of the volunteer team who take all the calls. So I have a big team of over 30 volunteers, and they will take it in turns to be on the roster to receive calls. But we do put them through training, and I work with psychologists to train them. And it is, you know, specific training for that crisis support when people are very distressed and they ring us, knowing how to support them through that and giving them some signposts and empowering them to take whatever the next step is. So I coordinate the volunteers. They do all the work when it comes to the calls, but, you know, obviously there's rosters and background things that have to be planned and prepared. But also I do a lot of outreach, going to conferences and speaking to student groups and, you know, interacting with the profession, preparing articles to be published, just generally working to raise awareness. And then there's the boring admin side of things that have to be done. We're an incorporated association, so there's, you know, meetings and minutes and agendas and all that sort of thing, and, you know, paying the bills, some of the less exciting things. And I have a lovely person, Bethany, who helps me with the social media and the comms and the website, and she joined our team about 2 years ago now, and she's doing a fantastic job. And her background, she was actually a pharmacy dispensing tech, so she understands pharmacy and is really, you know, very valuable. And she can also help me with some of my tasks from time to time if I'm on leave or something like that. So, yeah, there's sort of two of us and then the big team of volunteers. And we have our own board of management, and they're all volunteers, and they represent all the different pharmacy organisations who support our work. So they're very relevant and important too, and they oversee the governance of the organisation. So, you know, I can't give you a typical day, but there's always lots of emails. There's a bit of a look at what's happening in pharmacy, and then there's, you know, sort of looking at social media, looking at, you know, responding to things, planning, preparing, you know, that sort of background work that goes on. So some of it's not exciting, but I love interacting with people, and I love doing things like this and going and speaking to groups and going to conferences. I really enjoy that sort of networking is something I love. And look, we also try and support people who are doing research in this area. I'm sort of involved with a PhD project at the moment, plus some student projects. So really enjoy that side of things as well.
It seems like a wonderful team that you're working with, and you're obviously doing such good work and providing support to everyone in the industry. Since it is a company that's run by pharmacists for pharmacists, is there anything, I know you mentioned there's the training program that you get the pharmacists to go through so that they can help counsel. Do you know of any other like resources or training programs that are outside of that for any pharmacists who are involved or interested in getting involved with, you know, providing mental health services that are similar?
Well, I certainly always recommend mental health first aid because I think that is very relevant to all of us. I mean, particularly pharmacists because we're on the front line, but it's also relevant in our personal lives. And, you know, every one of us at some stage in our personal lives will be concerned about the mental health and well-being of a family member or a friend. And so, you know, having that sort of background knowledge and understanding of how to approach people who might be struggling is really important. And I'm actually going to be doing a refresher mental health first aid course in a couple of weeks because it's quite a while since I did my original qualification. I would recommend that to anyone who's interested. And there's also some very good programs that are run by the Black Dog Institute, and they also run some sort of basic training in suicide awareness and how to ask people if they're thinking of suicide, because it can be quite a challenging question to ask. So I'd encourage people to engage with, you know, those sorts of courses that are offered as well.
Yeah, just on the topic of suicide, I know there has been a lot of talk about the language that is used around it, and I always think that it's a topic that should be approached with care and compassion. I've heard that there's many discussions about changing the phrase commit suicide, as it has that stigma of like criminal life and brings about a sense of negativity. So in your opinion, what language do you think we should be using as pharmacists when we do need to address like this sensitive topic about suicide?
I think there's two aspects to that. One is not to stigmatise, and certainly we shouldn't be using the word commit. We should be saying, are you thinking about suicide, or is suicide on your mind? Are you having thoughts of suicide? It's sort of very direct questioning, but not talking about commit. And when people die, we should say die by suicide rather than, you know, commit suicide, because, yeah, commit is associated with criminal offence, which suicide was originally, but it's no longer. And it's very stigmatising for the people, like if there's someone has a suicide attempt, it can be stigmatising for them, but also for families, if they lose a loved one to suicide, to have that sense that the person's committed a crime is really hard for them to manage. It makes their grief so much worse because, you know, there's not just the loss of their loved one, but then this concept, this stigma that's associated with it. So I think that's important. But I think also we must be very clear when we talk about suicide. It's easy. We don't necessarily want to say the word suicide and, you know, are you thinking of killing yourself? But we've got to be really clear. There's no point in saying, are you thinking of hurting yourself, or are you thinking of harming yourself? Because that's not clear, because there are things like self-harm that we're aware occurs in the community, and even among pharmacists, that, you know, people do self-harm by cutting and other things like that. And so I think we need to be very clear to differentiate when we're asking about suicide with our language. It needs to be quite a direct question, and we'll never be putting that thought into someone's mind. If they're thinking about suicide, us saying anything about it is not going to change that. And if they're not thinking about it, and, you know, I've had that situation where I asked a close friend because she was going through a very difficult time, and she just said, I wouldn't do that. And so, you know, I had a clear answer and I could feel comfortable that she was safe. So, you know, it's far, you're not going to prompt someone to think about sort of killing themselves just by talking about it. And raising awareness in general is really important, and encouraging people to seek help through the various services. Now, you know, if we all often ask people in their conversations with the pharmacist support service because of their situation, but in general, services like Lifeline are just fantastic because they're available. Now it's available by phone, by chat, and I think by text as well, and you can have those conversations. So if someone is thinking about suicide, it's certainly worthwhile referring them to Lifeline as a source of support.
Along those lines, is there any other phrases or words that you wouldn't recommend pharmacists or pharmacy students to use when talking about mental health and mental diseases?
Look, it's really important we can trivialise or make fun of mental illness. There's a lot of people, one that I'm particularly conscious of is a lot of people say, I'm a bit OCD. And what they mean is they're very neat or well organised, or they like things to be neat. Now, in fact, obsessive compulsive disorder is an extremely painful and unpleasant condition where people are, they're so anxious that they don't function well. And so we really need to be careful not to trivialise obsessive compulsive disorder or OCD. And I think, you know, it's very easy for us to do that by, you know, talking about our sort of common behaviour. I mean, even as pharmacists, we tend to be well organised and like to have everything orderly. It sort of goes with, you know, our role a little bit. But, you know, we must be careful not to talk about OCD in a casual manner. And the same terms like psycho and these sorts of words, they're very stigmatising, and they create an impression that people with mental illness are dangerous or, you know, putting us at risk or to be avoided. So we really do have to think carefully about how we use those terms, or schizo, or, you know, these sorts of things where people use the terms very casually. And they probably don't intend to harm, but if someone has schizophrenia, which again is a very unpleasant medical condition to have and can make their lives very difficult, you know, we don't need to stigmatise them more by using it in a demeaning way or referring to it too casually.
So I just also wanted to ask, so with pharmacy support services, can students also call up as well, even though it is for pharmacists?
Yep, 100%. We're there for pharmacists, interns, students, and also overseas trained pharmacists who are working towards registration in Australia as well. But certainly we do get a number of students ring, and, you know, it can be around anxiety around exams or study, but it can also be because of something that's happened in the pharmacy when they've got their, you know, like they might have an evening job or a weekend job, you know, they're doing some work in the pharmacy and something happens and they just want to talk to someone about it, and they don't necessarily feel comfortable to talk to their manager at work. So, you know, we are another source of you know, someone who you can talk to as a student about what's happening in the pharmacy, or you might see something you think, I don't think that's right. I really want to find out with, you know, and it's often less confrontational to ring PSS because you don't have to say who you are and you stay anonymous and it's confidential. So you can sort of query things that are going on and have those discussions. Or, you know, you might be wondering if you've chosen the wrong career direction and things like that. So again, the PSS, although it's, you know, pharmacists supporting pharmacists, it's also there to speak to students and interns and overseas trained pharmacists who are, and they actually, the overseas trained pharmacists do actually have quite a difficult time to integrate into the Australian system. They often have to go back and do an internship again. And, you know, the systems in Australia can be quite different to what they've been accustomed to. So, yeah, we're there for all the profession. And look, we would never turn away a pharmacy assistant who phoned us, but, you know, we're not, our role is more, you know, focused on pharmacists and students and interns. But, you know, we realise that sometimes pharmacy assistants can be in, you know, they can be exposed to things that are quite stressful and very pharmacy specific, and we'll always support them if they ring us. And particularly sometimes what happens is they're pharmacist manager might ring us and say, this has happened in our pharmacy. Is it okay for me to encourage my pharmacy assistants to ring you? And we would always say yes, because when it's very pharmacy specific, it's hard to get the support you need from other sources. So having that sort of pharmacy specific support can be, you know, important.
Yes, definitely. I think the service that you provide is very important for the profession as a whole, and it's great to know that it does extend out to students and interns as well, and potentially pharmacy assistants. But we'll try and wrap it up now. So was there any other things that you wanted to mention, Kay, before we wrap it up?
No, look, I always just like to encourage everyone to think and do some self-reflection as they move into pharmacy and think a little bit about, you know, what their longer-term goals are and how they're going to reach them. But also in the shorter term, thinking about planning out your future and giving yourself things to aim for and to motivate you, because, you know, it's very easy once you come out of uni, put the study behind you and move on into life, and then, you know, you can lose sort of, I suppose, motivation. And I think, you know, it's always worthwhile to, you know, always be challenging yourself. I mean, you never stop learning in pharmacy. I've been a pharmacist for nearly 40 years and I'm still learning all the time. And, you know, I think that's, you know, really important part of keeping ourselves, you know, satisfied with our role and being proud to be a pharmacist. I'm still proud to be a pharmacist, even after all this time. It's sort of, you know, I feel that I've, you know, it's an achievement to become a pharmacist, and I'm proud of the profession and what we do and how we're here for the public.
As a student, that makes me feel better as well.
It is such a wonderful service you're providing, since even though we are providing healthcare to others, sometimes it can get overlooked that we have to look inward and provide it to each other and ourselves. So your service is just a really good reminder of the support system that we have around us.
Thank you. Yeah. And we do encourage everyone to focus on their own care and self-care, and also look out for each other. And you know, Are You Okay Day is a fantastic initiative, but we should be asking and checking in on our colleagues all the time as well, and making sure they're okay, and, you know, having those strong friendships and supportive relationships with each other.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Kay, and a huge thank you to our listeners. We hope that this has given you some insight into how important it is to look out for one another, and we'll see you in the next episode.